when you take a photo and you realize, oh no, the curtains were open and I've got some blinding light coming in from the window.
Right.
And so the room is absolutely dark in the photo. We need to be able to fix those. So tonight we're going to learn a little bit about color, not color correction, but lighting correction in the GNU Image Manipulation Program. And then we're going to talk about how we can improve our photography as well so that we don't have to go through the onerous process of modifying our photos. But we're going to use one tool.
Okay.
One tool in the GNU Image Manipulation Program in order to do this. So if you follow along with us this week, you're going to be able to do this as well and improve your photos so that they look better when you put them up on your website, you're using them on your blog, particularly of interest if you're taking pictures for a customer.
Right.
I know I did web design as like a home business before, you know, years ago. And I would often go in and take pictures of rental units, and I was doing some photography for real estate.
Right.
And it's particularly problematic when you take a bunch of pictures of the suite that they're trying to sell, and the lighting is way off, and you know you'd never would admit it to the customer, but oh, I kind of messed up, and the lighting wasn't right, so we need to go back and take it again. No, we'll use free software. Get it at GIMP.org. It's available for Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Nice.
So regardless of what platform you're on, you'll be able to use this. I've got a handful of select pictures from my own repository to use for this demonstration. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to open the first one, which has extreme backlighting. I'm going to open this in the GNU Image Manipulation Program version 2.10 on my Windows 10 system. Now remember, this will operate on Windows, Mac, and Linux. But today we're using it on Windows 10, just to show you how this looks. So here's a case where this beautiful photo of a bedroom is slightly destroyed by the fact that there's a lot of sunlight coming in from that there window.
Yes, there is.
And because of that, my camera has set the exposure level based on the amount of light coming in from that window. Mm-hmm. So now the room itself, which is actually the focal point of my photograph, is really,
dark.
Really dark. The colors are off, and it's very, very dark. So I mentioned I'm going to use one tool this week. On a future episode, we're also going to be looking at color correction, but this week we are strictly looking at levels.
Okay.
So basically lighting adjustments. So with our levels tool, we're going to be able to correct this. So I'm going to right-click and go colors, levels. We've seen this tool on Category 5 Technology TV before. On the left-hand side, these are your shadows. So if I grab this little triangle and bring it in, it's going to get more shadowy, aka darker.
Okay.
If I grab the right triangle, this is our highlights. So that is going to bring it in. It's going to make it the opposite of shadows. Any guesses, Sasha? Come on, I'm waiting for it.
Lighter?
That was your cue. Yeah,
yes, lighter.
Yeah.
Lighter.
Yeah.
More highlighty.
So you see what's happening there? It's brightening up. But the colors are still off.
Yes.
So what I need in order to correct colors is what's called white balance. Have you ever heard that term?
Yes, not that I would understand exactly what it means.
Well,
but
when you think about a photograph or visual imagery, like converted to digital, white balance is basically telling the computer what of this photo is meant to be white. And if that's supposed to be white, then that thing that looks yellow right now should probably be a little bit more toward the blue spectrum. And so
right
okay. Because lighting and exposure can really mess with the colorization of a photo.
So do you then have to pick in the picture what the real proper color is? Like you find the real white in there and just click and tell it?
That's a very good way to do it, Sasha.
Okay.
A very quick way to do it,
okay.
I should say. Because otherwise we can tweak the colors. And as I said, we're going to be looking at colorization and correcting colors in a future episode.
Mm-hmm.
But by finding something in the photo that should be white, we're able to tell our computer that should be white, so everything else can be adjusted based on the fact that that should be white. That's called white balance.
Okay.
So
I got this.
It's a really great way to be able to correct the colorization and the brightness of your photo. So you can tell that my camera has basically said the outside, so the sunlight that's coming in, which we know is not actually white, mm-hmm. it that looks very, very white to me. Mm-hmm. So my camera has probably determined that the light that's coming in from the window is white. Mm-hmm. And that's why the colorization of the scene looks a little bit off. It's very brown on the spectrum. So I'm going to bring back up my levels, colors, levels, and there are three mysterious buttons here that I want you to get familiar with. This Doppler is for shadows.
Okay.
This Doppler is for gray. Okay. And this Doppler is for white. We're not looking at photography just yet, but you can actually purchase off of Amazon or any, you can walk into a photography store and you can get swatches, basically like a template that it has white, gray, and black on it, so that as you're taking photos, you can hold it up, take a photo, and then that becomes your base image, so that you have something to doppel that is specifically white. I find it's helpful, like if I'm taking a photo of a nature scene, mm-hmm. sometimes I'll actually kind of off to the corner, off to the side, I'll put a piece of white paper or something that I know should be white, especially in a scene where I can tell, so think of this as you're taking your photo, mm-hmm. is there anything white in this scene? Because right. if there isn't, your camera's probably going to go off on the color because it's going to try to detect the white balance. It's not going to find anything that's white, so it's not going to be able to do it.
Like pick the closest white.
Yeah. So to put that into perspective, if somebody's wearing an off-white blue shirt, so like a really, really light-colored blue shirt, mm-hmm. the camera will interpret that as white, and so then the entire room will be white balanced to that as white.
And that's a blue, technically.
So yes.
Then everything else will
so
end up
all
like
the blue will come out of the image.
Right.
So now everything is very much toward the kind of orangey, yellow, red kind of end of the spectrum, right?
Okay.
So it messes up the photograph.
Right.
So we're gonna correct that now. So in this photo, I mentioned these three tools here, and the only one that I'm going to use right now is to pick my white point. So I'm going to select this Doppler right here, and within the photo, I just want to find somewhere that I feel should be white. And in looking at this photo, I see a baseboard that is painted white, so that's a good spot.
The ceiling, perhaps?
But it has, yeah, the ceiling is good. The baseboard has a little bit too much shadowing, so I think it's going to brighten up my image too much. The area around, like the actual window valance here, is painted white. But you said the ceiling. So you can see how over here, mm-hmm. it's quite bright, but then it falls into shadows over here. So this is going to be turning out a little bit darker. So let's try it. Let's select somewhere in the kind of intermediary brightness area. So right about here, I'm going to select that as my white point. And you see what happens, because there are shadows up here. Yes, the colorization has improved.
Right.
However, it's really, really bright.
Yes.
Because of that shadow.
They live on the sun.
Yeah, so picture. Let's bring that in a little bit tighter into the white area of the ceiling up here. Now, this is probably like a stucco ceiling, and I'm clicking all over the place. So there are parts of this ceiling that are not going to be pure white. There's going to be some gray specks and some shadows. So let's try in around the frame of the window here. Okay, I'm starting to see some good colorization, but I, again, have some kind of wicked-looking brightness, right? So, but the colors are looking natural. The wall doesn't seem unnatural now. So if I turn back off my preview, that's what it looked like. That's what it looks like now. So I start to feel like, wow, the white of the window frame here, the window sill, is turning into a pretty nice white balance for my photo.
Right.
So I've been able to select that. But it's way too bright.
Okay.
Right?
So
now
you can play with the shadow slider. Right?
Yeah, I could, but the shadows are natural. Oh, I don't want to pull those in too tight because then I'm going to get too much shadow.
Oh, okay.
Instead, there's this nice happy medium gray area. And with this gray one in the middle, I'm going to take that and drag it a little bit toward the light, which means I'm actually removing some of the light and pulling it toward, I'm actually adding more shadows, but in a much more subtle sense.
Okay.
So you see what I'm able to do?
Yes.
So I'm getting a much more natural colorization on those walls. The bedspread looks a lot more natural. Things look a lot cleaner. I'm gonna leave it about there.
Okay.
Turn off the preview. So that's my original. Very dark, very undersaturated. And then brightened way up. There we have.
Wow.
Much more improved. Now, this is not a perfect photograph because now the window is super, super bright.
The window looks like you live on the sun.
But the colorization is correct.
Yes.
And everything else about the photo looks a lot better.
I really love this.
Mm. So let's jump back to my photos. I'm gonna use another example.
Okay.
We've got another window here. Let's see if it loads up. Here we go. Okay, so this window is interesting because this window has some things outside. It's a little hard for you to see at home. If I darken it a little bit, let's just darken this scene a little bit for you so that you can see. See outside? I see some trees. I see some houses.
Now I do.
Yeah, but if I do that, what I've just done, look at what it does to the room. The room is like pitch black. So we've got an interesting case here where, okay, now we've got that backlight that's really creating a shaded room. But I don't want to lose the scenery outside. It's especially the case if I've got a photograph of like a suite that's overlooking a beach.
Right.
You know, you really want to be able to see that beachfront property outside, but you don't want the room to be black. So there's a little bit of trickiness to this and a little bit of hackiness. First of all, what I want to do is I'm going to create a duplicate of the layer. I want to have a backup of that layer. So now I have two of them. They're identical. So either one of these are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So with this first layer, I'm actually going to darken it a little bit so that I can see outside. So I'm not changing the white balance. I'm just darkening the photo so that I can see outside. See what's happening there?
Yes.
So I can see that's a nice looking landscape. I've got some trees. It's not perfect, but I want to get it so that at least I can see what's happening outside. I can see that there's more going on in the scene than just the room itself and just a white window. But now the room is dark. So now if I turn back on that lower layer and turn off the top one, you see what happens when I switch between them?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got the window. This is going to be my window scene, and this is my room scene. So let's correct the room scene. So I'm going to go colors, levels, and again, I want to improve the white balance because this is obviously undersaturated. The wall color is obviously off. I'm going to grab some white from the pillow. Look at how that just kind of brought the room right out of that. Now I'm going to grab the grays and brighten up the room a little bit, but notice how I've completely lost my window. Okay,
right.
That's why I wanted to darken out another layer for my window. So there's the window layer, and here's the bedroom layer. So now I've got two layers to work with. So let's go back to our window layer. I'm going to zoom in a little bit here. And this is where things get a little bit hacky. So we're taking it real easy tonight. I'm just going to grab my lasso marquee here.
Okay.
Free select tool, they call it. And I'm grabbing the outside of the window frame. Not the inside, because I don't want to mess up the brightness of the inside. And you're going to see that in just a moment. I'm going to just kind of trace around anything that is inside the suite.
Okay.
See that?
So yeah.
I'm going to trace around that. Hit enter to save that selection. So now I've got a selection that is that window. Can you see that marquee? It's a little bit difficult, but it is there. Now I'm going to hold in my left shift key so that I can multi-select. So now I'm selecting another marquee on the other pane of the window. I'm going to go around these pieces of fruit as well as I can. Take your time a little more than I am, but this is for a demonstration. But you can see how quickly I can do this. And I'm just doing this with a touchpad on my
While you're selecting
mouse.
That, can I just ask you, the Foo wants to know, did you shoot in RAW for this to be possible?
These were shot in JPEG,
okay,
in auto mode, and that's intentional for the sake of the demonstration, because for a lot of users, you're just going to be shooting from your camera and getting the best shot that you can just by pointing and clicking.
Exactly.
And, okay. And then it's the regret afterwards where, oh, I really wish I could have made that a little bit better. We're going to try to fix that up a little bit. So I'm tracing around this. So these are just shot JPEG in auto mode. So I've traced around, hit enter. So now I have both of those panes selected. So just to show you,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to control C, control V, and then turn off that layer and create a new layer so that you can see what I've actually done. So
right.
That's what I've actually just selected and highlighted. So what I want to do now, I'm going to turn on all my layers. with that selection, I'm going to right-click on the top layer, which is my window layer, and I'm going to add layer mask. With that, I'm going to choose the selection because I want to create the mask based on my selection. And are you ready for the magic? Mm-hmm. I'm going to add that. Now, it's left my window like that. Look at that. Okay.
That is incredible.
Now I'm going to zoom out so that you can see how those two layers, those two different versions have now merged together and so quickly. Like, I'm doing this live.
Man, so you're there's fixing my window. All the Windows problems.
Yeah, not all of them. I'm on Windows 10. It's probably going to crash. So there you have it. So there's another example of how things look. Now, keep in mind, I've got links below. This is kind of hard to see on your TV, but I've got links below if you're watching this on YouTube or on our website, category5.tv, where you can download the full-sized image, and you can actually see the difference between the original and the version that I've created here tonight live on the air. But I can definitely see that on my screen, that just looks stellar. Now, another trick that I could use, so... And this is something that I would recommend that you do, and this is just kind of a side tip for you. Mm-hmm. There's something about when you create a clip like that, how there are these stark lines. And sometimes those can be very, very visible because, like, see that the kind of blue line right there?
Yes.
That's because there's a bit of a shadow right there that's a part of the other layer. So what I want to do instead, so let's just backtrack a little bit. And with this layer here, I want to, now I've got my selection, I'm going to right-click and go select, and I'm going to feather.
Oh, okay.
Now observe the dimensions of your image. This is 4272 by 2848. So I can say probably about 50 pixels, and you will be able to gauge this as you grow as a visual editor. I'm going to say 50 pixels is about right. It might be about 30, but let's try that. I'm going to add my layer mask. And what I did there... I'm going to turn off the bottom layer, is that I softened the edge.
Oh, okay.
Do you see that? It's not so stark. So now when I turn back on the bottom layer, that blue line that was there is much more natural looking because there's a little bit of a gradient.
Right.
Leading from one photo into the other. And then you end up with this nice soft edge on the curtain here that really looks so natural that you would swear that that's actually just the light pouring into the room.
Right.
It's beautiful. So then you end up with a photo that's perfectly usable. And again, you can check out the original image below. Let's jump back to my samples. And one final item with the white balance correction. Let's bring up the typical scene, the bathroom, where lighting is always off. Color is always off.
Right.
And it doesn't look terrible, but there's a very definite yellow hue. So I'm going to right click and go colors, levels. And I'll just say, I want to show you this on multiple different images because I know your images are going to vary from mine. Mm-hmm. So we're learning techniques. We're not learning specifics. These are techniques that you can use in order to improve your photos after the fact. I'm going to choose that white Doppler like I did before. And I see from this image, I've got a white toilet. I've got white towels, but they may be speckled with some gray. I've got a white curtain, and I've got a white sink. But the white sink has some grays in it. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that that's a little bit off, but let's grab that and watch what that does to the room.
Wow.
Do you see that?
Yes.
And if I click on the wrong thing, let's say I tell it that white is actually this brown tile, it's going to completely mess up the photo. See what happens?
Now how are you going to find
it? Yeah, well, you can click anywhere else. If I click on a brown towel, it's going to say brown is the color. And that's what I'm talking about, how if you don't have any white in your photo, your camera is going to select the wrong thing as being white. So let's grab the sink, because I think that's going to give us a really nice white balance. You can see if I turn off the preview, so now it's off.
Right.
You can see how it's got a real yellow hue. It's kind of like there's a mask over top of the entire image, giving it that yellow look.
Mm-hmm.
Turn back on the white balance that I created from the sink, and it's got that really pops out. You can see that the colors are right, and now I can safely adjust my shadows and make that look the way that the room actually, in fact, looks. And there you have it.
That is bananas.
bananas. You heard it here, folks. Lighting and color corrections, these are corrective actions once we've already taken the photos.
Right.
So we've taken it, and now we realize we made a mistake once we've imported them. We need to fix these photos. We're going to show you after the break a couple of tips that can quickly help you to just take better photos right out the gate so that there's a little less corrective action that needs to be done, and you can actually just take better photos from ground one.
Nice.
Stick around.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
All right, welcome back. Let's get into it. You've got some questions in the chat room.
Absolutely. Okay, so Solbu was asking, what if after you've taken the picture, you discover there's nothing at all white in it? So, before, you could just use a piece of paper and just add it to the corner, right? But what if not?
Right. So why would we do that? Why would I take a piece of paper and put it in the corner? It's so that afterwards I have something I can doppel.
Right.
Because I know when I'm looking through the camera lens or through the whatever you call that, the viewfinder, I'm able to see, oh, you know what, there's nothing white in the photo. So we have to kind of think ahead as a photographer. Like if I'm taking pictures, when I'm taking pictures in a suite, mm-hmm. I'm looking at things like, are the bedspreads wrinkled? Are the photos straight? Are the lights, are the lampshades on straight? Those kinds of things. Like as you're taking photos, whether you're professional or not, you've got to kind of think of these things. And one of those things is, what in this photo is going to give me white balance?
Right. Okay. So instead of you taking the picture, hypothetically, yes. I'm taking the picture. And I'm pretty much taking
the
picture like this.
Take the lens cap off. Take the lens cap off. Turn the camera around.
Yeah, okay.
Put the batteries in.
Zero white things in there's nothing white.
I'm so going to get beat up on YouTube. Yeah.
There's nothing white
that's
in my
fine.
Picture. It's like, it's just...
So that's where color correction comes in.
Okay.
That's happening on a future episode. I want to say next week, but I know that we've got some things happening next week and it may not happen.
And I want to be here for it and I'm not here.
Oh, well, that's
week,
perfect.
So don't
So
do
2 weeks
week.
From now,
okay.
we're going to be looking at color correction, which is different. We're going to actually be able to adjust the colors without something to base our white
no
balance
white
on.
In the picture.
And that takes creativity. Nice thing about white balance is we know, hey, that piece of paper is supposed to be white, so let's doppel that and it will fix the colorization based on that.
Right.
Well, if you don't have anything white in the photo, there is gray Doppler. So if you find something that's supposed to be gray in the photo, then you can adjust things based on that.
Right.
But you can also use color correction tools, desaturation tools, things like that, that will be able to assist you as well.
Okay.
So those are things that we're going to be looking at. But backing up, so you've got the camera.
Yes.
And I said, you know, before the break, we looked at how we could correct photos that we've already taken. Mm-hmm. But as we're taking photos, as I mentioned, we kind of want to be smart about what we're doing. So I've got my camera, and I'm taking a shot.
Right.
And I'm looking, and I'm kind of looking beyond the camera lens and saying, okay, is everything straight? Is everything looking good? Have I got something that's going to give me good white balance in this photo? And then I take my shot, because tonight there was a truck that was parked right out front of the studio, and I said, oh, that's a cool shot. I want that because I've got the sun setting behind it, mm-hmm. and it's coming beyond, and then I took the shot.
Right.
Where's the truck? Where's the truck?
Man, that's fast. It's the speed of light, that truck.
Our camera, I mentioned when I was talking about the window.
Yeah.
It's going to set the exposure level based on the scene.
Right, and it saw the sun. Is that what, and then mm-hmm. it just gets everything else
well,
dark.
Because I wanted the sky in the photo. Yeah. So, of course, as I'm setting up my shot, I've got the sky and I've got the truck. Mm-hmm. Well, the camera in its auto mode, because I'm assuming that we're all kind of rookie beginners and we're just learning how to use our cameras. And so I might have it in auto mode. I might have it. But regardless, when I push down that button, it samples things from the scene.
Right.
Usually, it's a pinpoint in the middle of the scene. So if I've got this scene here, and in the center, I've got this big bright area, mm-hmm. that's what it's going to base its exposure value on.
Mm-hmm.
Not the truck that is, in fact, down here.
Would it be a different exposure level if that bright sun was in a different part of the picture? Like if it was in the upper right, it would change everything.
With my camera and its default auto settings,
yeah.
it's a pinpoint in the middle of the photo.
So
that's what it's doppling from.
Okay.
So but that may not always be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm taking my photo, so I want you to grab your DSLR, and if you feel the button that is your shutter, and I right. want you to feel this. So push down on that.
Okay.
Push down all the way.
Yeah, there's like...
What do you feel?
There's like a double.
There's a double.
Yeah.
You feel that?
Yes.
With your DSLR, if you push down, sometimes we just take our photo and we take for granted that there are actually two buttons that are a part of this
process. What's the first one?
The first one is to set your exposures, set your focus.
So I'm taking a picture. Can I just hold it?
Yeah.
I will be careful.
Notice this. This is something that I do, and this is subconscious, but... Do you notice that?
Okay. So
every time I pick up my camera,
we know if I drop it. Things.
Yeah, if I drop it, that's as far as it's going to get.
Okay. So I am okay.
That's what I do.
Okay. So I am taking the picture. Do yeah. I go halfway and then all the way the rest of the way, or can I go halfway mm-hmm. and then come back off and it saves it?
No.
So I
as
have
soon as you
to.
Release it, it's reset back to hey, okay. try again. Okay.
Okay.
So instead, what we want to do. So we want to take our camera,
yeah,
and we want to find a point that's in the same focal range as what we're actually taking a photo of.
Right.
So if I'm taking a picture of this wall and there's a window right next to it, I could say this is my focal point, and then I can widen up the shot. So
okay.
So when you say okay, I'm going to point the camera,
right.
and then I click to take my photo, but I push all the way down to take the picture. But then it samples everything and creates the exposure level and creates this.
Right.
So instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, that's my shot that I want, but the truck is down here.
Right.
So I'm actually going to look down at the truck. Don't change your depth because then you're going to have focus issues because I'm going to be setting these in a second. So here's the photo I want. I'm going to actually move down my head to the truck. Now I'm going to
half press.
And I'm going to hear my lens kind of focus, and I'm going to see that it's clear on my screen in the viewfinder. And then with it still half pressed, I'm going to move my head up and then full press.
It's this step I've been missing.
Right? So now that photo that looked like that.
Yes.
Looks like that.
Whoa.
Okay. So we can find that point within your photo
yeah.
where, like, can you even see it there?
No.
It's there. It's the same photo.
That's incredible.
But all it took was just looking down at the truck and then moving up. Now, this is a poor example because the weather wasn't quite what I wanted today. I was going to take a nice nature shot and it started snowing. That was the only amount of blue sky that I could find in all of Barrie.
That was it, yeah.
It was it. It was like a little opening.
You had it all.
It was a little opening.
It was
but just
day.
To show you, I mean, that's not the photo. I mean, you're saying, oh, well, that's a stupid truck. Yeah. It just happened to be parked in my way.
It's just actually the example that we're giving that makes sense to me now. Mm-hmm. So here's the truth of the matter is mm-hmm. Dave had one time bought me a
this
camera.
This is her husband, yeah.
Dave, yes, bought me a camera. And, I mean, I just take pictures like, I'm sure it's a picture, or it's a camera that has the double.
Sure.
But
a DSLR.
I always found that my camera was better because mm-hmm. when you take a picture with your camera, you can touch on the screen where you want the focus to be and then just press the button.
On your phone. Yeah.
Well, you can do
not
that
on
with
this.
You can do it with the camera,
but
too, kind of.
I'm going to take this to the next level for you. So you're in my scene. So say Sasha is my shot, okay?
Right.
So, but I don't want her to be right in the center of the shot. I want some of the scenery that's behind.
Right.
So what do I typically do is I frame my shot so that Sasha is a little off to the side, and I've got the sunset behind you, say. Right?
Okay.
And then I take the picture. Well, now it's looking for a focal point. It's looking for exposure. And it finds it in the sunset behind you.
Okay.
Because that's what's in the center of my frame.
Mm-hmm.
So in auto mode, that's what my camera focuses on.
Right.
So instead, I point it directly at you, I focus it on you with the half press, then I move it out, and then I click all the way down. So then you are bright. There's
right.
not that backlight causing you to be, like your facial expression be invisible.
Right.
It fixes that.
Ah.
So now we can very, very easily, even in auto mode, take better photos.
Everybody watching right now is like, they're digging out their camera and they're checking for the half price.
Yeah, try that.
Yeah, there's a real thing.
The one other thing that you can do, and I recommend that you do it, is start looking at lens attachments. The one. Well, of course, there's the UV lens. All of my cameras have a UV lens on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're cheap, they're clear, they don't cause apparitions, and they protect your actual physical lens. Okay? So
right.
this is a protective layer. But on top of that, get yourself a polarizer. $15.
Oh, that's
okay?
not bad.
What a polarizer does is it acts like sunglasses for your camera.
Mm.
So if you take any pictures outside, you're going to be going to Whistler, BC next week.
Right.
You're going to be taking pictures snowboarding.
Yes.
Well, if you're outside in the snow, guess what?
White.
It's going to be blanched completely. So you put a polarizer on
yeah.
there, and it acts like sunglasses for your camera. And it just kind of darkens it up and makes it so that it finds good exposure, good white balance.
Nice.
And it's like $15. You can pick them up anywhere.
I wonder if I can get that shipped from Amazon to my sister's house because I'm going to visit her.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, you can get them on Amazon for sure. So there you have it. That is, just some quick tips for you with the GNU Image Manipulation Program. Get it for free at GIMP.org. And a couple of tips for you with improving your photography out the gate so you don't have to do so many different modifications to the photo after the fact.
Thank you.